Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. If you need service, give them a call at 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Two guests today, married couple that was kind enough here about 3-4 weeks ago to talk with us about being married, Pastor Eric Lamb and his wife, Sherita Lamb. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, Jim.
We're doing great on this end.
Hey, well, you're very good sports for doing this. You know, COVID has made it so that a lot of our interviews, about 50% of them, are on the phone. So again, welcome to ABQ Connect. I hope everybody can hear well. Our listeners, they'll, I'm sure, let us know. Unfortunately, we can't take calls today because we have Eric and Sherita on different phone lines. But if you want to email me, you can email me to jim@abqconnect.online if you have a question for them, and we'll be happy to try to get them to answer it. Today we're going to talk about something different, though. As I mentioned, Eric Lamb is an assistant pastor at Calvary Church, and Sherita is also involved in ministry. And I want you both first to kind of reintroduce yourselves to our audience, because we're going to spend this afternoon talking really about race relations. And a week ago, we celebrated the work and the life of Dr. Martin Luther King and the amazing things that he did in ministry. And Eric, the reason that I wanted to get you all on the phone is because a year ago, it was the first time that I'd ever had to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King and his work. And I surprisingly received some very interesting criticism and all these comments from various Christians about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life personally and all these different things. And I was very convicted, because if my own life were to be evaluated the way these people were evaluating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., well, I sure wouldn't be on this radio program, because I've been a failure. I've been a failure in many more ways than he was. He was just, you know, such a huge figure for all Americans. And you know, Eric, let's first start with you and talk to us about your work at Calvary Church as a pastor.
All right. Well, I'm an assistant pastor at Calvary here. Most of my work comprises counseling and wedding, funerals, and the like. I call myself the EA pastor, everything and anything, the guy that's just always available to fill in, take up, and do what's necessary and needed in and around the church and for the body of Christ.
Well, I love that. And Sherita, how long have you been married to Eric?
It's close to 40 years.
40 years. Well, that's good. Now, you notice that I didn't ask Eric that. And the reason is I didn't want him to have to sleep on the couch tonight. Because I always find when I ask men that, without telling them and getting them to prepare in advance, they never know the answer. So, hey, Sherita, tell us about your calling and service and ministry.
Well, at the time I worked for APS as an educational student. I've been in the APS, or the educational system, I would say, for the last 18 years. Away from that, I volunteer over at an organization called LifeQuest, which is mentoring and a future and a hope for the youth. And I've been doing that for over a year now, among other things that I do, but there's not a lot of time to get into that. But basically, what I do with this particular ministry is I'm calling a young lady once a week for 15 minutes on the phone during the COVID season, of course. And then once a week, also, I have a Bible study with them for about an hour doing Zoom. And like I said, there's so much more that's going on, but that's the gist of it.
It may encourage you, Sherita, to know that I had John Jones and Chris Franklin, the chairman of your board of directors, on the program here 2 weeks ago.
So
LifeQuest, I think, is an important ministry, and I didn't know that you were involved there, or, this, see, the bad thing about you guys sharing your lives with me is it just gives me more reason to have you back on the show. So I'll always be bugging you all the time to be on the show. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Erica, I led off by kind of giving you a little idea about some of the criticisms and then the conviction in my own life about, you know, failures and things. I mean, my marriage failed after 27 years. I've told many people, it always takes two people in a marriage, but, I was largely not the spiritual leader that I needed to be. And I try to encourage men, and that's why you were on the program with me here, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago to talk about marriage and just share your own experience with that. But you are a black couple. You've dealt with stuff that I can't even imagine dealing with. And so today we're going to talk about, Eric, why does God use imperfect people to share his love?
Yes, and that is a very good question. And yes, God does use imperfect people. And I think a good answer to that is that's all he has to work with.
Yeah.
you know, like who's perfect? And how do we define perfect? You know, perhaps we can define it as most likely or uniquely qualified or, you know, based on human standards. But who's perfect? You know, like you were saying a minute ago, is that I look at my life and I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I was the best choice for God to pick to become a pastor. You know, if you go down the list of Bible heroes throughout Scripture, we see many of them could easily be disqualified for their flaws or their imperfections. You know, Jesus' disciples were a group of guys that weren't wrapped very tight.
Yes.
So, yes, God uses imperfect people. I think of John 7:53, the early part of the 8th chapter there, says, "Let him who is among you who is without sin cast that first stone." You know, when we look and stand and try to see who's righteous or who's perfect or who's qualified, I think, as you're saying, our sins would quickly disqualify us. And I love 1 Corinthians 1 around verse 27 or so there. It says, "But God chose what is weak and the foolish, the unqualified, so to speak, of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." You know, that I think God gets his greatest glory and honor through using weak vessels to show himself strong in the world, and that God's not limited by our limitations.
Absolutely. Well, and I mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A week ago today, we celebrated his life and really the ministry that he had to our country. And again, not a perfect man. Certainly any human being can be criticized. But when I start thinking about a guy that not only inspired everybody that was following him in the civil rights movement, but they would go into a peaceful demonstration with literally thousands of people, and they were peaceful. They let people cuss them out, spit on them, hit them. And I'm just going to tell you, as a man, and I'm not advocating this, but I'm knocking somebody's head off. I don't have the ability to let people spit on me and turn the other cheek. So I view what he did and all the people that were with him as a God thing. That was Holy Spirit led.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Jim.
100%.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, Sharita, let me ask Sharita a question real quick, and Eric, you chime right in. Eric, you're a mom, and I can imagine when your children were young that racism was evident and that they had to deal with things as you did and as Eric did. But what is it like for a mom to have to watch your children treated wrongly?
You know, I don't think any child is exempt from it. You know, if somebody had asked me, I wish someone had asked me years ago when I was 21 years old with our first child, because, you are very naive. You do trust everybody. And I would say the big majority of moms, the idea is that you would never wish any harm would ever come to any of your children, but, and you also feel like everybody feels the same way, but that's not realistic. I would just say, you know, after raising three children, I've learned that no matter how good of a parent you think you are, you will not always be able to protect them because we are imperfect human beings that happen to live in a fallen world. Job 5:7 says, man is born to trouble as sure as the sparks fly upward. And, you know, as I grew more in the Lord, I learned that we can focus so much on protecting and guarding, and we forget to equip them to deal with the evils of this world by applying the word of God. You know, Proverbs 2:11 says that discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, and it's interesting in that verse that it does not mention anything about guard and protection. And that it just, my friend, you know, when she read that scripture, train up a child, she said God really convicted her heart of that, because when we tend to read that scripture, we tend to think that it's about our children, but it says train up a child. So we have a responsibility not just to our own children, but to other children when the opportunity presents itself.
Mm.
That's
beautiful. Eric, your comments.
I think in the era that Rita and I grew up in, the 60s, the 70s, we saw and encountered more of that racial tension and prejudice through that time frame. I know I did, with my father being in the military and us traveling about in different places, especially in the South. We did encounter racism in some areas, in California the same. The children, our kids especially, I think we did shelter them. They grew up in environments where racism wasn't a big thing. So more than anything, we had to help them understand what the black plight was, what racism looks like, what it is, because they really didn't encounter a lot of it. And sharing our stories with them and helping them understand how we dealt with it and how to deal with it is, I think, the best protection and guard for them to understand this is it's a real thing. This is what it looks like, but this is what this is where we stand concerning it and how we have to deal with it ourselves.
Before this interview, I did not know that Sherita was involved with the Albuquerque Public Schools, and I can imagine that stress right now with all this remote learning and not being with your friends. And this doesn't just apply to our children. It applies to us. Parents and adults, I can imagine that maybe is bringing out some things inside of a lot of people that are not really pleasant at this time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And are you having to work with children about, you know, how to deal with some of this stress? Because remote learning, I at least I've heard, and the feedback I'm getting is that it is quite a bit more difficult for children than in-person learning.
It is. It's not normal. That's not the way God designed us to be. And it's we were created for human contact and personalization, and it's just there's so much wrong about it, and the thing is that our children are isolated, and it's scary to think what is developing in those type of environments. These are our future generations, and so it's real concerning.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We're on the phone this afternoon with Eric Lamb and Sherita Lamb. They're kind enough to talk to us about being moms and dads and raising a family in an era where there is racism and other kinds of civil unrest. This past year has been just particularly evidence of all of that. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about American history and whether we should embrace it and learn from it or erase it. When we come back, Eric and Sherita Lamb, stay with us.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and
since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Last July 19, Pastor Mahesh was guest teaching at a Friday night prayer service in Tamil Nadu State, India, when three Hindu radicals interrupted the meeting. Before bystanders could intervene, the radicals beat Pastor Mahesh with a metal rod, causing severe trauma to his head. He was immediately rushed to the hospital. Once admitted, hospital staff determined the men had also fractured his left shoulder. Please pray for Pastor Mahesh's recovery, that it will be swift and without complications. Pray for his family's provision while he is unable to work, and pray that the three extremists will come to a saving faith in Christ.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Sherita and Eric Lamb on the phone with us this afternoon. Again, thank you both for doing this over the phone. It's just a little different. One of these days, I hope to see your smiling faces in studio with me.
Okay.
Yeah, and we can actually almost social distance in the studio. We'll just have to, Steve Ryman, in fact, and I want to thank Steve for engineering because he has to push all kinds of buttons and bring us on the air and keep everybody flowing with the program. Before I ask you guys the next couple of questions, I need to thank Indigo Mortgage for being a sponsor of the programming today. When you are in the market for a mortgage loan, please give Indigo Mortgage a call at 836-5700, our good friend Ben Lucero, or you can reach them on the net at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. We really do thank all of our sponsors. They are amazing. They support this ministry, and it gives people like Eric and Sherita a chance to share their own faith and their own experience. Eric, before the break, I talked about American history, and these are things that I've actually just learned recently. I didn't even learn these in school, which is kind of embarrassing. I did not know that 8 of the first 12 presidents of the United States, 8 of the first 12 presidents were slave owners. Is that history is that history we should embrace and learn from, or should we just erase it because it's so unpleasant?
You know, and it's scary because there seems to be a great push in some circles in our communities to erase events, people, things that happened and what was done and said in the past. I believe it'd be a great mistake to do so. You know, we need our history. We need our histories. It stands as a point of reference in order to grow. If we dilute, I think, ignore or fail to detail and retain that history, the truth of our history, especially Black history in America, we will lose much, I believe, of what it means to be to be even human. You know, we will fail to see the dark side of humanity, you know, the depravity of man, and then see, you know, a greater responsibility that we have to manage him, in so many words, well, and to value our values and to set our values and to even know right from wrong. There is right and wrong, and I think there's a confusion with that today. You know, we have to learn from our mistakes and the things that did or didn't work in history so that we can do better, build a better, future for all of us.
The first time you all joined me on the program here a few weeks ago to talk about marriage, you were both pretty open about some weaknesses and some things that happened that weren't so great during the time you've been married and how those weaknesses have now become strengths and have actually been a way for you to minister to other people. Can our country do the same thing, Eric? I mean, can we say, I guess I look at the rioting that happened this past summer in particular, and obviously some horrible things happened. I mean, I can't believe what happened to George Floyd. I mean, that just, it's just unthinkable. And I know so many police officers, black, white, and Asian, and other nationalities that just would never dream. And they put their lives on the line for all of us of all different colors every day. So I knew that that was an unusual thing. I mean, there's literally hundreds of thousands of events every day in law enforcement that happen that are handled the way they should be handled. And then you have this, you have this terrible thing with George Floyd. But as I saw the rioters, what I thought is they've forgotten what Martin Luther King did. They forgot.
Yes.
And had they if they came back to that courage, it would have been so much more impactful than destruction.
Agreed. And I think what we're dealing with in the culture and the world in which we live right now is there's an undercurrent of deception and lies that we're dealing with. Not everything that we're seeing happening is legitimate. Is real. I mean, we were fine, you know, until a certain time that all of a sudden all these things begin to break out and happen. But you're absolutely right. And the problem is that the good always suffer for the evil. You know, the bad behavior of some taints and scars and marks those who, you know, the good that's being done. And so, I think you gave a good example, too, of how in our marriages, what we've been through in the past can either make us better people or we can become very bitter people and cruel to one another. But we have to learn from these past experiences, even with what happened with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. What have we learned from it? In counseling, I always challenge my folks there concerning their past. I say there's only two constructive things we can do with our past. The first is to learn from it. And the second most important, I say, is to grow from it. And that has two implications there, growing from it, putting distance, and then growing from it, developing and drawing from it lessons that we've learned so that we can better ourselves. And when we see something that isn't in line with bettering ourselves, growing us, we need to reevaluate what we've done. I mean, when we look back on how Martin Luther King accomplished his mission with nonviolence, with, you know, clear articulation and addressing issues and bringing about unity, bringing people together to stand together, to walk together, to fight together, that seems to accomplish a whole lot more than, you know, the violence, what we saw with Antifa in the cities and the streets.
Absolutely.
And Rio has something to say on this as well, too.
Yeah. Sherita, do you remember?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, you know, I was only 5 years old when Martin Luther King died in 1968. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I remember seeing my mother cry and that it was a very sad day. But later I did learn he was a man of God and he believed in the power of God's love to overcome evil by demonstrating nonviolence. You know, what I love about Martin Luther King, he fought for equal rights, not for special rights. And, you know, and I love a lot of his favorite quotes. Darkness cannot draw out darkness, only light. Another one of my favorite quotes of his is, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. And I love this quote because it leaves no excuses to be the victim or not to be successful in life. And, of course, one of my most favorite, his favorite line of all is that, you know, he prayed that one day his children would be in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And for some reason, character has totally, I don't know, it's obsolete now.
Well, and let me add something as well, too, real quick there. That was really good, Rita. And when we're talking about what's going on and all there and where justice is concerned, Martin Luther King had another quote. He says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So you can't fight, you know, with injustice and, you know, accomplish something that's beneficial for everyone.
Eric, this is a little bit off script, but I think that, at least in my own experience, I mean, I grew up in Albuquerque in the Northeast Heights. In high school, I had several friends that were black and other nationalities other than white.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't different than me. So I didn't really think about a difference. Well, then I signed a national letter of intent to become a basketball player at the University of New Mexico. And all of a sudden, I was practicing every day and, frankly, at first fighting and battling with guys from Queens, New York, and Manhattan, and East L.A., and Pasadena, California, which were completely different. And I was terrified. Now I don't think I was racially prejudiced. I was just terrified. No. I hadn't been around people, much less black or white, from these other communities. And I learned very quickly, these guys are just like me.
Amen.
That's right.
So familiarity kind of just got rid of that fear. And
yeah, absolutely.
I wonder, how can we as a community, can we have, and I know COVID is going to goof everybody up for a little bit longer, but can we have community meals? Can we intentionally do some things to have conversation between the races? And I have to say, Eric, and you know, I'm an old basketball player, and this is what we do. We get together in a gym, and that's exactly what we do. We have a game. And we battle and we play hard, and there's every nationality on the planet in these games now. And we just have some fun. Now, I haven't been able to do that since COVID, and I don't actually play anymore because I'm too rickety. But I just think there's got to be something intentional about getting people together to get to know each other.
It's just, I'm sorry. Oh, that was Eric's question. That wasn't my question. I'm sorry, Jim.
Oh, go ahead. You both comment on it. That's fine.
No, I just wanted to chime in on what you were saying. I was only going to say one thing, is that it's so beautiful how that naturally just happens. And that's all I wanted to say.
Mm. No, it doesn't just naturally happen. But what Jim highlighted is that there was something that unified you guys, something that made a connection for you that overlooked the race, and that was you guys were a team. You were on the same team. You had to work together. And growing up in the military, being a military brat and being transferred overseas in different countries and places around even the United States, what unified us, black, white, or wherever you were from, what unified us, that we were all Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't black, or, you know, there wasn't black, white, or anything else. Hey, we were Americans, and because we're Americans, we stick together. And so that unified us. We had a common, base to work with. But what happens is when you destroy that base, when you destroy that common purpose, I think for our country, it's patriotism. You know, at one time, patriotism was a big thing. It's what unified the United States. And so we need that. We need that. It transcends the color and the race when we realize we're Americans.
Yes.
And I thought that was a good point. I had another point, but I lost it here.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break, take a commercial break, and we'll be away for about 2 minutes. If you bring back that statement to mind, feel free to share it. But we've got a lot more to talk about with Eric and Sherita Lamb. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Our nation is in crisis, divided. Images of violence, anger, and hopelessness assault us daily. Everything that made the United States the most blessed country in the world. Our foundation is one nation under God, and our ability to disagree in the name of freedom of speech have fallen to the loudest voices advocating a country we hardly recognize. But this isn't the first time a country's walls have been torn down. The book of Nehemiah has much to say about rebuilding a nation and trusting God through difficult times. Men of Albuquerque, this is Dave Slade. If ever there was a season when we need direction and encouragement for how to live in such difficult times, it's now. Our families and our nation are in desperate need of leaders. This is our time to stand and be counted. Please join me for this new study in the book of Nehemiah. We meet in the Hub, the building just west of the baptismal. Thursdays at 6:30 a.m. in the Hub at Calvary Church. Bring your Bibles and join me, Dave Slade, and other men as we study the book of Nehemiah.
Whether ordering delivery, takeout, or pickup, let's get out there and support our favorite restaurants. Central Grill and Coffee House, east of Rio Grande on Central, serving breakfast all day. Casa Taco, uniquely prepared craft tacos made fresh to order. Nacho Mama's Tacos. Grassburger, using 100% grass-fed beef. EatGrassburger.com. Village Pizza, two locations. Great homemade pizza, the best ingredients. They need us, and truth be told, we need them. Bon Appetit.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We appreciate you staying with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We want to thank Holly Slade and Dave Slade and Associates Realtors for sponsoring the programming here on KNKT and ABQ Connect. Call Holly and her team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly Slade and Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book. 342-8100, or reach Holly on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. You might have also heard during that break that Dave Slade also teaches the men's Bible study at Calvary Church. That's coming up again this Thursday, 6:30 in the morning. So it's early rising for men that want to get involved with the Calvary Church Bible study. We have Calvary pastor Eric Lamb and his wife Sherita on the phone with us this afternoon. They're both involved in ministry. Sherita, I learned today that you are involved with the Albuquerque Public Schools for quite a long time, 18 years, and I want to thank you for all your work, because I can't imagine how teachers are dealing with this any better than the children are. This COVID thing has knocked us all off our feet.
Yes.
Eric, what should be our focus today as we think back to what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did in this country, peaceful demonstrations? I think back to some other activists. I think about the people that identify themselves as Antifa and some of the violence and some of the things that's happened recently. I think about the violence that just happened at the state capitol and or at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. I think about the barricades set up here in the state capitol for, you know, the legislature's not even in session at the Capitol, yet it's all barricaded. And I can't help but think how miraculous and how God led what Dr. Martin Luther King did to espouse peaceful demonstration. It was just amazing.
Yeah. I think what our focus needs to be on is what we hear captured in the Declaration of Independence, and focus back on the things that unite us as a nation, as a people. One of the things is to remember that, you know, and I think through Martin Luther King, his work and all, is that every human being has been given intrinsic value. Captured in the Declaration of Independence is that what we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think the rest of what the Declaration of Independence has to say in these areas is extremely important as well, too. We have to go back and learn from our history. I think there needs to be not just a week of Black history, but I think there needs to be a stronger education. A lot of people don't know Black history. Not just a day, but perhaps a week, maybe a month of Black history to go back and to remember where we've come from, where we are, and again, discuss together where we're going to from here. So important. And so just that bringing together what Martin Luther King did, Black and white together, and being able to discuss where we've been, where we are, and where we're going to from here. Dialogue is necessary.
Rita, did you want to comment on that?
No, I can't top that. I want to apologize earlier for interrupting my husband.
Oh,
I didn't
no.
know he was speaking at the time.
Well,
you're fine.
What I find fascinating about what Eric has quoted now a couple times is the first line of the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King made that a focal point of number of his speeches. But here's the thing that I didn't know. I didn't know this as an American citizen, white or Black, until this past year. When I started doing some research about our forefathers, I found out, I knew that Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder. But what I didn't know is that he was probably the author of that first paragraph, at least, of the Declaration of Independence. And he wrote that while he was a slaveholder.
Mm-hmm.
And
can't you see God's divine hand of authorship in that as well?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. It's God is working through a man that was deathly afraid of giving up human beings that were really his sustenance, his livelihood. I can only imagine that they were afraid of going out of business. But here's the thing that was most fascinating to me. He didn't just write that. 8 years after he penned the Declaration of Independence, he wrote a letter to the Assembly at Virginia, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have it in front of me, but this is so profound to me that I just can't get over it. In that letter, he said, there are three things that are absolutely terrible about slavery. The first one is that slaves and their children would grow to hate this country.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he said, people that are slaveholders, and again, he's talking about himself, they become tyrannical, not just toward people of color, but to all people. It's like they feel this right to lord over others. This is Thomas Jefferson writing this. And then thirdly, and this is the one that I found the most convicting, the slaveholders of that day were profoundly aware of the intelligence of the strength of character, not just strength physically, but the strength of character of the Black slaves. And they were deathly afraid that the slaves would revolt and they would lose all their livelihoods. So here's what he said thirdly. He said, if there is to be a war between slaveholders and slaves, God will not favor those who own slaves. In other words, he's saying God is going to be on the side of the slaves.
Agreed. Agreed.
And this is all written. You talk about the Declaration of Independence. You write to this. You talk about 8 years later this letter to the Virginia Assembly, and you're talking about a white man who is writing absolute truth, clearly knows that what he's doing is wrong, and yet he still does it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And isn't that the nature of sin?
Yeah. As we know, the righteous thing we ought to do and don't do it, we sin. But you see, Jim, these are things that people need to hear. We need not bury this. We need to remember these words and these things, you know, and we got to understand that there is an evil in our nation, in this world, that we have to confront and fight. Because during the same time, because of exactly what you're sharing, this gave birth to eugenics, you know. And I think it's so powerful because the next part of what we read in the Declaration of Independence highlights the fact as well, too, that, you know, evil prevails when good people sit back and do nothing or fail to stand up for the rights that they have been given. We go on to read that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a new government and lay its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. You know, we need to go back and learn this stuff again. And I think that's where a lot of our saving grace is going to be, in keeping history from repeating itself and the ugly head of racism and prejudice begin to, you know, spill out across our country again.
Eric, this is way off script, but I know you have, as part of the staff at Calvary Church, you've received several emails from Right to Life organizations asking us to pray about the legislative session that is literally going on right now while we're talking.
Yes.
Because what they are considering is talking about abortion and talking about right to life issues that have to do with our elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think about the babies that are being killed around this country, over 60,000 of them a year. And the majority of those babies were supposed to be people of color, and we are taking their lives. The politicians have to get convicted about these lives, because that is the epitome of genocide. I can't say it any more gentle. We are killing people because they're inconvenient.
Yes. And that's just it, Jim, is that when you remove the person from a child in the womb, when you strip it of its personhood, then you can destroy that life. And that's where Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, you know, really pushed the intrinsic value of the human person. But the confusion, which shouldn't and isn't any confusion at all, is when do you consider a person, a human, you know? Mm. And it's tragic that, yes, human beings are being discarded, but every life has intrinsic value. And we need to bring that value back to human life, young or old. But I think we're living in a culture that I believe loves its comforts and anything that makes us uncomfortable, whether it's human history, whether it's history of and what was done to slaves, or, you know, a child causing an inconvenience, an elderly person causing an inconvenience in my life. There's an easy way to remove our inconveniences so that we can be more comfortable. Yeah. And I think that plays a big role in what we're facing in these arenas where life is being discarded and persons devalued.
Yes. Sherita, I want to ask you, in working in the public schools, and again, I don't want you to make a value judgment or say anything politically destructive toward the public schools. We appreciate all of our teachers. We know that our public school system can only go up from where it is today. We have some pretty low rankings nationally in third grade reading levels and eighth grade math scores and graduation rates. So, hey, we are all on the same page. We all want it to get better. What I wanted to ask you, though, is do you run across things in textbooks that are obviously not true and slanted some way?
Yeah, absolutely. Evolution is one of them. Another one is destroying of the nuclear family. The list just keeps going on. Sex education is another one. I mean, there's tons. There's just tons. I mean, our children are being exposed to things and given deceptive information that is just so unhealthy for them, you know.
And destructive.
The schools are just, education is not the same. It's just not the same. Martin Luther King said that intelligence plus character, that is the true goal of education. Mm-hmm. Intelligence plus character, and unfortunately, there's nothing to do with character anymore. Manners is gone. Christian values are gone. It's just all immorality.
Yes. Yes.
So
we're on the phone this afternoon with Pastor Eric Lamb and Sherita Lamb. They are both all involved with children and ministry and talking about the civil rights issues of America. They are Americans, they're patriots, and we're getting a good perspective on some of the things that they've lived in their lives and perspectives that they have now. If you have questions and you'd like to get some answers, maybe we may not be able to get them to them in our last segment. But you can email me. My email is jim@abqconnect.online. I'll be happy. And I'm hoping that they will be available to join us, later on, maybe in February. And we love to talk with you guys very much. We've got one more segment with the Lambs. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Eric and Sherita Lamb on the phone with us this afternoon. We've been talking about civil rights issues and the unrest in our country and what it's like to grow up as both a young person and a parent as a black person in our country. And it's obviously different than it is for white citizens. But I really appreciate the positivity that you both bring to this and the focus that you both have now on the future and your own roles and your own calling. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jim. You're welcome.
Hey, I want to ask you now if we could dial this back to New Mexico. Sherita, do you think New Mexico has a problem with racial prejudice as a state?
Yeah, You know, that's a real sensitive topic for me, because I've done my research on both sides, and, you know, somebody put it very well. I really believe there's a psychological warfare going on in our country today, and I believe the racial prejudice is just a distraction, and it's to bring division, and, you know, and I'll explain why. You know, I mean, all I really see, Jim, is people about power and unforgiveness and vengeance and blame shifting. And, you know, and again, for those who don't know me, I happen to be a Christian woman first that happens to be Black. My identity is not in my color. It's in Christ Jesus. Mm. And racial prejudice today has a totally different face today. And I'm not saying that it does not exist, but this is not the root of our problem anymore. If the same opportunities are available to me, why do I care if you like me or not? If anyone, and I just want to, whoever's listening out there, if anyone ever tells you today that you cannot succeed because of the color of your skin, I want to suggest to you to get as far away from those type of people as possible. This is so toxic. You know, whatever happened to character? The root of that problem in our society today is not racial prejudice. It's immorality. You know, when I read about Black Lives Matter, I don't know if you've ever read the website. It's not even about Black lives. It's about immorality. It's about homosexuality. It's about destroying the nuclear family. It's about transgenderists. I mean, it's everything. It's an anti-Christ movement. And I don't agree with, and then if you don't agree with me, then I'm censored. I mean, that's a prejudice, a really big prejudice today. Mm. You know, so, you know, again, as I said, you know, people want rights, but, I mean, we believe in equality and equal rights, but people want special rights, and the special rights that they want is for me to go against everything that my God stands for.
Mm.
And the last time I looked, you know, all men have been we're all under the curse, all of us. So, again, I just see it as unforgiveness and vengeance. And, you know, if any prejudice is that's happening today, it's against the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just from my perspective. I can't speak for everybody else, but this is such a distraction from immorality that is sweeping our country. Like crazy.
Yeah, it seems like we just want a license to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if I could chime in on that just a little bit too, is that, the racial prejudice, yes, but it is not as open and blatant as it once was. We have a racial prejudice, I think, now that's hidden behind smiles and masks to cover it, because on one hand, we've learned that we really need each other. We depend on each other. And so we're going to hide our personal prejudice. But I think it really comes out when we're in our different, circles, that we can talk about, other races and, be negative sometimes in that way. And highlight, and I think there is where we find it, and I think it's there that our attitudes need to change as well too. And I think the work mm-hmm. in dealing with racism has to be done, and that is in the home, in our groups, you know, in Black communities and Hispanic communities and white communities. We need to find a way to bridge our prejudices and our attitudes with races, and I think there needs to be a dialogue in that area as well.
Yes.
You know, can I chime in on that? You know, the thing is, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the term colorstruck, Jim. Have you ever heard of that term?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, colorstruck is a term, you know, in the Black community, you have light-skinned Blacks, you have dark-skinned Blacks, you have medium-skinned Blacks. I mean, they come in different shades. And I've experienced prejudice just from my own people because of the lightness of my skin. So racism just is not, one race is not guilty of that. All the races are guilty of that.
You know, there's prejudice everywhere in every race. And so to pin that, I just think the target seems to be against whites, and that's so unfair to do that. And I really don't appreciate that, because I have a lot of dear white friends. And just when you say white people, that puts them in that category. And I think that's so unfair. Blacks are just as prejudiced as whites. Hispanics are just as prejudiced as whites. I mean, there's prejudice in every race, and nobody wants to discuss that. The same thing that they're accusing the other person of, they're guilty of themselves. And I always tell the black community, you know, when you grow up in a black community, and when during the slavery times, when you, your ancestors who really experienced slavery, they became bitter about slavery, and of course they grew bitterness towards their slave masters. And so what happens, they begin to teach their children, don't trust them. Whites are this, whites are that. And then their children teach their kids the same thing. What do you think eventually is going to happen? You're going to breed the same type of thing that was bred in the white children. And so what happens, you begin to become the very thing that you hate. And I just want to encourage people out there, we need to stop. We need to not buy into this. This lie and this deception.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I wanted to touch on just a little earlier when Jim was talking about his experiences in college there. And I had my experiences in high school as well. A lot of the persecution I received was not so much from whites, but from blacks. it was kind of crazy. But there was something that my dad taught me, and I think that's what I'm saying, is that it needs to come back and start in the homes, and it needs to come back to how we talk about racism. And one of the things that he raised us with is, even through the 60s and the tensions that were going on there, is his saying was, hey, not every black man is your brother, and not every white man is your enemy. And that we have to, even as Martin Luther King says, we have to look for and we have to evaluate a man by the content of his character.
Eric, I can't help but go back to what I was talking about earlier with Thomas Jefferson. Here's a guy that penned the Declaration of Independence. Again, obviously yes. Very clear about the equality of men and how God created human beings, regardless of the color of their yes. skin. And then he even points out the awful three characters of three pitfalls of slavery that are just amazing, yet he was still a slaveholder. And we can all postulate why he continued to be a slaveholder for 50 years after he wrote these documents. Uh-huh. And he really was taking his life into his hands writing that stuff. So why he didn't have the courage to go beyond that, I don't know. But I guess I want to come to some kind of thing today. If we're still not, all of us, black, white, whatever, if we have racial prejudice, doesn't matter toward whom. But if we are acting on that out of fear, how do we put that aside and do the right thing today?
Yes. And that's where community is so valuable, Jim, and unity. We have lost, I think, a path to unity within our country. And back then, and within this unity cannot, I think, work and be very effective without accountability. You know, if he was held to accountability for what he penned or what he believed, then I think his actions would reflect more the convictions that were supposed to be there, the false convictions that came out, that, you know, just that accountability. But we need to find a path to unity again and find a balance. But there's so much, I think, division and separation and values and in all these areas that we need to build a bridge through.
Eric and Sherita, thank you for joining us today. We didn't get through our list, but it was wonderful. Appreciate you being with us today on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.